Good morning. Wow, James, that was so powerful hearing your story this morning. I don't want to keep us for long because I feel that your story spoke for itself, didn't it? But I do want to take a moment, just continuing our theme of who you say I am, just to unpack a little bit more about that process that happens when you step into a relationship with Jesus. So today I'm going to be speaking about I am a new creation. And straight away for me, because I've been around for a while now, that old Sunday school, is it a Sunday school song, comes into my head. I am a new creation, no more. Is that slow? Speed it up then, Graham. Here in the grace of God I stand. But actually, last night I was out celebrating a friend's birthday and we were having a little dance and a very different song came on, which equally sums it up, which was, I'm a different person. Whoa, turn my world around. The thing about baptism is, honestly, James looks the same right now. I mean, he's a little wetter than he was before. But aside from that, outwardly, we can't necessarily see the difference. And yet, internally, everything is new. And it's not just because he took the decision to get baptized. It's because there was a point somewhere in his journey that his heart decided to cling on with both hands to the love of Jesus. I'd love to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 today, verses 17 to 21. I'm going to be reading from the Message translation. I just like the way it puts it. And we'll have some other verses later from varying translations. Follow with me. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone. A new life emerges. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. God put the world square with himself through the message, giving the world a fresh start by offering the forgiveness of sins. We're Christ's representatives. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. How, you ask? In Christ. God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong, so we could be put right with God. I am a new creation. I'm going to just whiz through a few things that being a new creation offers us. And the first is a brand new start, which we already heard from Pete, and to a degree we already heard from James. You know, I didn't grow up in church. In fact, church wasn't really part of my life at all. But when I was 14, I began to go to a church youth group. And there was a load of turmoil happening in my home life. Things were really, really unsettling and difficult. And I was asking a lot of questions. And I was actually hurting a lot too. And I kept going along to this church youth group. And I saw in some of those people just, I don't know, I can't really describe it. It was something that I just knew I didn't have. Some kind of missing ingredient in their life. And it wasn't that they didn't have problems. It wasn't that they didn't have difficult circumstances. They somehow seemed to have a deep-seated peace amidst all of that. And I knew that whatever it was that they had, I needed. And then one day, I went to a service much like this. It was probably the first time I think I'd been to a church service in this particular church. And a lady was being baptized. And I'll never forget it, because I was sitting there just like you, and I was listening to her story. And as part of her story, she said that she had found in Jesus a love that would never let her down. And in that moment, my heart began to pound, and I thought, I just need that. I need that. I was dealing with some rejection and abandonment. My relationship with my dad was tricky. I was looking after my mum, who was kind of dealing with the aftermath of a marriage that was disintegrating. And I felt lost. And I definitely felt a little unlovable for a whole load of reasons. So to hear that there was this love that would never let me down, well, I just knew I had to have it. And so, a bit like James, my heart in that moment just reached out with both hands and went, if that's true, I need this. And I remember that in the stillness of that church that day, I prayed a prayer, and it was nothing fancy. It was something like, God, if you're real, and if that's true, I need that love in my life. And boom, it was like night and day. I don't know, everything looked the same on the outside. I don't know how to better describe it than to say I just felt this release of joy and peace, and I felt this love, this overwhelming, heavy, deep, beautiful, pure love. And I went home, and I was so worried that I wouldn't feel like that the next day that I left myself a note, and I put it on the bedside table, and it said, Nikki, remember, you're happy now because you found Jesus. And I woke up the next day. I didn't need to read the note because that feeling was still there. And I know that following Jesus is more than a feeling. For all of you conservatives out there who are about to tell me that it's not about feelings, I understand that. But the Holy Spirit did a work in my life, and I knew inside that although none of my circumstances had changed, although outwardly I might look like the same person, inside I had this brand new start. I'm a bit of a geek. I used to be a teacher, and I love stationery. Who's with me? Oh yeah, I'm really sad that Paper Chase has closed down. My highlighter kind of, you know, penchant for highlighters has had to kind of be relegated. Although if you go up to our office, you will see a rainbow array of highlighters, all neatly organized, a nod to my past and my love of stationery. But one of the things I love more than anything else is the feeling when you open a brand new journal. That's a good feeling, isn't it? When you open a notebook and no one else has written anything on it. And that's how I can liken that new start, us being a new creation in Christ. The old is gone. It's like the page is turned and there is this beautiful blank canvas that your story, what's happened in your past, it's not that it's not important. Of course, there's a continuation in who you are and who you've been raised to be. All of those things, they remain an important part of you. But somehow everything takes on a different sheen. There is a new start, an opportunity to rewrite the story, or more importantly, to allow God to rewrite the story in and through you. To put behind you the stuff that is weighing you down, the sin, those bits that we wish we hadn't done, or those things that we wish we had done but we left undone, that stuff that keeps us up at night, the regrets, the sin that's entangled us, to leave it behind, the mess and the brokenness, and to step out of confusion into hope, freedom, forgiveness, and wholeness. And you know, that new start, it's not just a one-time thing. And that's the cool thing, isn't it? Because although there is something about stepping into a friendship with Jesus that gives us this incredible opportunity to start again, to get rid of the old and to assume a new life in Him, actually, for those of us who have been following Him for a while, His word tells us that His mercies are new every morning. That there's this ongoing process to leave the old behind and to step into the new. And we all at times feel like we've blown it. And of course, knowing Jesus doesn't make us perfect. We still hurt people. We still get it wrong. But every single moment of every single day, there is an opportunity for a fresh start in Jesus. We have had a very long series of old cars until recently, just very recently actually. And the last old car, Pete used to tell so many stories about it, it was brilliant. But really there were just so many things wrong with this car. Air conditioning wouldn't work, which wasn't great in a heat wave. The turbo warning light or engine warning light was constantly on. There were some dodgy rattles taking place. It cost us a lot of money. You know, when you just keep throwing money at an old car. And there came the moment where we decided it was time for our beloved car, which we had loads of fun memories in actually, and had served us relatively well, to go to the scrap heap and for us to enjoy this beautiful new vehicle. And for the first few days in the new vehicle, it was like, yeah, let's put on the aircon. It actually works. Come on, look at the dashboard. There's no warning light there. Ooh, heated seats. Yes, I can get used to this. This feeling of inhabiting this new life. Stuff that we wanted to relegate to the scrap heap. The slate can be wiped clean. God offers you and me today complete and utter forgiveness for everything we've done, everything we've left undone. And we can be completely connected and restored. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah, that's Jesus, gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone and a new life emerges. If you're here today and you're feeling like, I'm too messy, I'm too broken, I want to make it clear to you, there is a fresh start available for you today in Jesus. No one is ever too far away for his love to penetrate. Being a new creation also takes us in a new direction. From night to day, from darkness to light, from death to life, from despair to hope, from shame to honor, from loss to found, from confinement and captivity to freedom, from inner turmoil to inner peace. And no, we haven't arrived. But our direction of travel is different. We're no longer following my way and everything the world has to offer, but we're following the way of Jesus. The pathway is narrow, it's the one less traveled, but it's the one that leads to life. I can't imagine where I would be thinking about the decision I made in that church all those years ago now, had I not uttered that prayer in that moment. Just a few weeks later, we ended up moving to a different part of the country. And for a long time, I couldn't get to a church. Firstly, my family weren't too on board with it. But secondly, I was living in someone's spare room in a house. It was just a really insecure time in my life. But my decision to follow Jesus took me in a whole new direction. And the Holy Spirit was amazing in that time because he just kept leading me into truth. And I couldn't get enough of reading the Bible, but also reading books. And every time I read the Bible or a book, the Holy Spirit would highlight something new. And I would just begin to take baby steps into following him. Until one day I could get along to a church. And I became part of a youth group which were like family to me. And I made the decision to audition for a band. Working for a Christian charity, touring around, and funnily enough, that was where I met Pete, my husband. He was a singer in the band, and I remember standing that year in front of children in secondary schools and thinking, I just feel so alive. I feel like I've stepped into this new direction, this new purpose. I feel like I'm doing what I was made to do. And there was this sense of a whole new direction. And before that, I'd kind of mapped out what I thought my life would look like. But sure enough, decision by decision, the Holy Spirit began to lead me down a completely different pathway, breaking away from other people's expectations, breaking away from my own at times. There's a new direction for those of us who are a new creation. There's an opportunity for us to turn around and to choose a different pathway. And for some of us today, I'm pretty certain we feel lost and confused. Perhaps we need to know today that there's a new direction, and all we have to do is call on Jesus and ask him to show us the next step. We don't have to see the whole journey, just the next step. Being a new creation also means that we have a new navigational system. We're no longer living for ourselves, but we're living for Jesus. We're not directed by our own desires, but by the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and Jesus himself, who's the living Word of God. There's this new value system that begins to take shape. And we don't always see the effects of that immediately, but over time, we begin to notice it. We belong to Jesus. We start making decisions that we know will please him first, and putting him first in all things, priorities, decisions. It's no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. And that's massively countercultural in a society where everyone is living for their own gratification and fulfillment. To submit your life, your goals, your ambitions, and to position Jesus above yourself, that's what it looks like to be a new creation. And it takes such courage. It's a process of dying to yourself daily, choosing that narrow path that I spoke of, laying down your own life. But somehow, in the dying to yourself, his life, his resurrection life, floods in. And it's somehow greater and full of more joy than anything has gone before. Yes, there are detours. Yes, there are deviations. There are delays along the way. But the journey is full of beauty. And there is a beautiful assurance in these moments when life feels dark or difficult that you are never alone. A new navigational system piloted by the Holy Spirit. John 14, 16 to 17 says this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He remains with you continually and will be in you." None of us can live a life for Jesus without the Holy Spirit. And for James, making that decision at the age he is, and we've heard, yeah, it might feel tricky at times to follow Jesus alongside a whole bunch of peers who maybe don't understand it or don't get it. But there's only one way that he can do that. That is in the strength of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to be your helper, James, and he's our helper too. That in those moments where we're overwhelmed, where we don't know what to do, we can just say the best four-letter prayer I know, which is help. And that word standby in the Amplified translation there, when I think of standby, I think about putting the remote control, like the TV on standby, which isn't a very helpful analogy. But if you look up the meaning of the word standby, it means active and ready for immediate deployment. Isn't that a great picture of the Holy Spirit? That actually in those moments where we hit a roadblock, we have this navigational system, which is the Holy Spirit, and we can say, I am lost, I've made a mess, I don't feel like I can get out of here. And the Holy Spirit is our standby. He is active and he is ready for immediate deployment. Being a new creation means that we have a new wardrobe to wear, which is music to my ears. I love a good shop. Colossians 3, 9 to 10, again in the Message translation, says this, "You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with his label on it." I love that. Because although initially we won't notice the changes that are taking place in our life when we follow Jesus, it's happening inwardly. And sure enough, as we clothe ourselves in love, as we clothe ourselves in freedom, joy, all of those other aspects of the kingdom, it begins to show on the outside too. And others begin to notice that we are indeed a new creation. And I love, James, that your, I think it was your uncle, he shared that every time he comes round, he can see a difference in you. He can see the growth and the change in you. It's evidence that you've got this new wardrobe that you're wearing in Christ. Now, I love footwear. I was, pre-kids, I have been known to take an entire hand luggage case full of shoes, just in case. Those days are well behind me, my friends. But, yeah, much to my husband's rejoicing. But I do have a few pairs of shoes in my wardrobe that are ridiculously ill-fitting and uncomfortable. And in fact, just last night, I was trying to dance at a party on very uneven ground, and I was wearing little stilettos. It was not the one. It was so uncomfortable. You know what it feels like when clothes are ill-fitting? You see, the thing about being a new creation is some things do have to change. And over time, we begin to notice as we follow Jesus that there are some things that were really comfortable for us before that become uncomfortable for us now. It might be some relationships. It might be some attitudes that we've been wearing. And actually, after a while, there's this kind of inner conviction where the Holy Spirit says, no more. No, it's not okay. That attitude actually has to go. That doesn't fit you anymore. You can't wear that any longer. Being a new creation means that we are daily being transformed to become more like Jesus. And that means that there are some clothes that we're going to have to confine to the rubbish bin in order to take on those new garments. It's an ongoing process, clothing ourselves in Christ-like characteristics. And as part of that, there's a new definition that comes. You see, those verses in Colossians say every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with His label on it. That means we no longer have to be defined by the labels or the badges that defined or confined us before. The old has gone, the new has come. Your reputation, the mistakes you've made, maybe your achievements and your accolades, your success, your status, other people's opinions, their expectations, those things no longer define us when we step into a life with Jesus. The only definition, my friends, that matters is what He has to say about you today. The labels and the categories, the cliques and the cliches, they're no longer ours to wear. We're saved by grace. We are a new creation in Christ, and we're defined by Him and no one else. It's like a bespoke, tailor-made garment. It's like the best pair of shoes, perfect for every step and every season. And the label on it, Jesus. He calls us chosen, forgiven, loved beyond measure, friend, child, co-heir, reconciled, restored, accepted, saved by grace. But we have to choose to wear those items, to inhabit them. Don't let any other voice define you. Don't let anyone say that you don't belong to Jesus. If you have given your life to Him, you are His. I think about that laborious job as a mum, putting those clothing labels on every item of school uniform. Yes, you know the ones. It's so good that they have the iron-on ones now, isn't it? That's a definite plus. But those are on there so that should one of my daughters lose an item of clothing, everybody knows who that item of clothing belongs to. Just imagine today that your jumper or whatever you're wearing today has a label in the back. And instead of saying the shop where you purchased it from, it simply says the name of Jesus. Because you're no longer your own. You're His. You're purchased with the highest price. And He loves you. Colossians 3:11 says this: from now on, everyone is defined by Christ and everyone is included by Christ. And finally, being a new creation leads us to a new destination. There's this rerouting that happens, to continue the sat-nav analogy, and there's an assurance of eternal life with Jesus. And it's not something that we talk about loads in church. We tend to deal more with equipping people to live life to the full here and now. But I think it's a really important one, that the moment we become a child of God, our home is an eternal home with Jesus, wherever he is. And he is always with us here in this earthly lifetime. But beyond the grave, we have a hope and a future that we will be forever with him, in a place where there's no more suffering, there's no more sorrow, there's no more tears. There's proximity to the one who loves us unconditionally and who first loved us. So this earth is just a temporary dwelling for us. Now we have a different perspective, a heavenly one. And John 3:16 sums that up beautifully. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So how? How do we become a new creation? Well, if you're here today, perhaps you've been visiting for a while, perhaps you're watching online, perhaps you've come as a friend or family of the Dunhills today, and you're wondering, how do I find that? How do I become a new creation? It's dead simple. All you have to do is allow your heart to reach out and to grab a hold of Jesus with both hands. And as we come to a close this morning, I'd love to pray a prayer. And if today you're thinking, you know what, I need that in my life. I want the old to be gone and to take on a new life in Jesus. In the stillness of this place, I would love you to pray that prayer in your heart today. And if you do, do come and find me. I would love to chat more to you about that decision you've made, or chat to the person who brought you or someone else that you know loves Jesus. They would love to explain more about that decision you've taken. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the power of James's story today, for the way that you have met him and just revealed your heart for him. That he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is loved by you. And for those of us who just want to commit our hearts and our lives to you today, to reach out and to grab you in faith, to believe that you died and rose again for us, and that we can become a new creation in you, then I'm going to pray these words. Join with me. Lord Jesus, I give you my heart. I receive life in all its fullness through your death and resurrection. And I receive your Holy Spirit. Thank you for dying for me. And thank you that I can become new creation. I give you my heart.